The Brad Sesmatch Show, broadcasting live from the ShopTates.com studios.
Good Friday. Thanks for being with us, Brad Sesmatch, on Sports360AZ.com, on AZ Central Sports, doing our thing on White Mountain Radio and on Twitter, at Brad Sesmatch. Looking forward to today's show. We'll have Clark Kellogg with us here in a few minutes, CBS Sports college basketball analyst. Good to catch up with Clark. Have some fun with Clark, with U of A winning last night. And we are 5 weeks away from March Madness. Let's break down some college basketball. I've done a ton of letter of intent day, a ton of college football this week, and that's fine. There's all that content up on sports360az.com. So Clark Kellogg here in about 12, 13 minutes. Bottom of the hour, Aeneas Williams is in town. He was, of course, elected into the Pro Football Hall of Fame last Saturday. He is in Phoenix tonight to drop the puck at the Coyotes game against the Chicago Blackhawks. I don't know how many pucks he has dropped, but we'll get caught up with Aeneas Williams. Congratulate him on going into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. That comes up at the bottom of the hour. And then Goody joins us today. Bill Goody Koons, chief film critic for Gannett, AZ Central. I missed Jay Leno's goodbye last night, but I've seen the snippets this morning. So while there's some movies to talk about with Bill, in the last couple of weeks, Bill's been just dreadful. His segment has just been painful because every movie that has come out has been hideous. They don't put movies out on Super Bowl weekend, evidently. And so there's been nothing good to talk about with Bill. I love Bill. Bill's terrific. He comes on every week. But I hope there's at least something, anything to watch this weekend, because it's our first weekend without any sort of football. And I do want to talk to him about Jay Leno. I did see the clips this morning that Billy Crystal, who was the first guest of Jay Leno's, was back last night. Eric, you and I have been together doing shows off and on for, 18 years?
Yep.
Is it 18 years?
Since 97.
Yeah. Yeah,
man,
so
we're old.
17 years off and on. We had a big gap there of about 9 years when I was doing the TV thing. But do you remember our first guest? I was trying to think this morning, who was the first person that I ever interviewed? I remember my first caller doing this job very, very well. It was back in 1987. It was my best friend. The first show I ever did was on Christmas Day.
The first guest I ever booked for you was the play-by-play voice of the Seattle Seahawks. He's no longer the play-by-play voice, and I can't even remember who it was.
Steve Rabel? Was it Steve Rabel?
I don't think it was him back then, but that's the first
guest. How do you remember
guest
that?
I ever booked.
That's not a memorable guest.
Because you threw the Black Book at me, and for those of you that don't know what the Black Book is, it's basically just this little book that the media gets that has contacts and numbers and all kinds of fun stuff. And you're like, here, go, find somebody. And I was like, what is this? Ooh, a Black Book.
You were what, 19, 20?
I was 21. I was 21.
21, yeah. So my first guest that I ever did, I don't remember. It might have been Jerry Tarkanian. That's when I was doing my thing on 690 back. And for those of you that remember those, and a lot of you do here in Arizona, it was Hacksaw and myself doing our thing. And then they said, we want you to have a daily show and co-host it with a guy named Steve Hartman. And Steve's still doing his thing. And our overnight guy was a guy named Jim Rome. And so, you know, we were all together at this little station just doing our thing. But I think Tark was my first guest because I was really into the college basketball and I was doing the play-by-play at San Diego State, and I'm pretty sure it was Tark. First caller, though, was my best friend, and it was on Christmas Day when I was like, I don't know, 19, something like that, first show I ever did. So I thought Leno, from what I heard, it was pretty cool, some of the people that came back through and rolled through, and that's fine. The Olympics, did you see Costas last night? I've done shows playing hurt, but I've never done it in front of 20 million people that are looking at my eyes saying, why does he look like a cyclops? Or even Bob Costas has a tear in his eye tonight. And I saw Bill was even hammering on Costas last night. But hey, that's the Olympics. You're not going to call in sick. You're not going to fly all the way to Sochi and then say, look, I don't look right. I kind of look paranormal.
Well, with the conditions in Sochi, it's probably pretty easy to see why he didn't look right. He could have been attacked by a stray dog, or he probably didn't have running water in the hotel, or there were bees in the honey. Bees in the honey!
Bees
yes!
In the honey.
I can't make this up.
No, my wife was starting to watch the Olympic stuff last night. I saw this, and I'm just not there yet. Tonight's the opening ceremonies. They've already been done. There's some clips that are coming out now, some still pictures and all that, but I saw the story of a guy from Nepal. This is what I love about the Olympic Games, is when they take these tiny, tiny little countries and they put a team together. So Nepal has a 40-year-old cross-country skier whose job during the day is laying bricks. So I don't know when he has time to go train and how the skiing is in Nepal. But when you hear a guy from Nepal as a bricklayer at the Olympics, I'd probably try to watch that guy because I got Shaun White. I understand. I get it. There's endorsements. I'm sure Shaun has never laid bricks before. And there's a certain part of the Olympics. We were talking yesterday after you left about our favorite Olympic athlete and all that stuff. And I go back to the dream team, and my wife heard that segment. She's, what are you, nuts? Those guys are paid. Those aren't real Olympians. Well, yeah, you look at Michael Phelps in a Speedo, and of course, last time I checked, Michael Phelps is endorsing Subway and all these other things, so they are paid. All these guys are paid.
The gold medal gets you paid for life.
No, that's it.
It gets you paid for
life.
And
if you have a really good marketing person, you can blow at the Olympics and still come back because... And it's like robots now. When I see these kids, they've been through hundreds and hundreds of hours of media training. Like, all you need to do is smile. Just smile, look into the camera, and nod, and everything will be just fine.
Did you see the Nancy Kerrigan, Tonya Harding documentary on ESPN?
It's not part of it.
Harding even admitted that, yeah, I wanted to win a gold medal because it would set me up financially for the rest of my life. Yeah,
sure.
She's right. I mean, it may sound greedy, but look at where her career went post-Olympics, and look at where Nancy Kerrigan's career went post-Olympics. So,
well, look, you can...
And Kerrigan didn't even win the gold. She won the silver.
I see crazy parents at Pop Warner games. Okay, so it's all the same. It doesn't matter if it's the Olympic Games. I see parents that just feel like, and then they get crazier as they get into junior high. And then by high school, the parents are usually worn out, and the kid hates the parents. Parents hate the kids, and it just doesn't go well. So, you know, I've got more. It's not like I'm sitting here saying, rah, rah, go Olympics. I'm sure the ratings will be great, and we'll talk about it. But Clark Kellogg in about 6 minutes. Eric has our Facebook question of the day.
You mentioned earlier, Brad, this is the first weekend since July.
Yeah.
Last July, no football.
Right.
No football to be found on your television. So without the pigskin, your main priority this weekend, either on TV or elsewhere, will be fill in the blank for me, itemizing my taxes and pulling weeds. Yep, it's going to be that kind of weekend.
We had a faucet sink handle break last night.
Oh, you're going to have that kind of weekend too,
I'm soccer dad tomorrow. I have round two of the high school playoffs.
Yeah, of course.
So, of course. I'm doing that.
Facebook.com. Facebook.com/sports360AZ. I'll trade you. I'll go play soccer stepdad, and you can pull weeds and itemize my taxes.
I might go to the Golden State Suns game tomorrow night, but the heat are coming here on Tuesday, so I'm picking my spots. Let's get you caught up some of the things on my mind in the world of sports, brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino in the beautiful White Mountains. Yes, the weekend is here. And there's been some weather, which means some snow, which means Sunrise Ski Resort, which has been making snow anyways. You go up to the Honda Resort and Casino just outside of Pine Top. You get your room, drop your stuff, go pull the slot, have some fun, eat some great food tonight. Tomorrow you go on up, you go sledding, go skiing at sunrise, come back, sit in front of the fire, have a couple of pops, do the whole thing again, come back down Sunday off the mountain, and you're relaxed. Come on, does that not sound like the weekend to have? It's at the Honda Resort and Casino just outside of Pine Top. They've been a part of what we do since day number one, the Honda Resort and Casino in the White Mountains. The stories that have caught my eye today around the state, we are Arizona-centric. I did watch U of A last night. U of A in their first game without Brandon Ashley. It's kind of like when we have a show where we don't have Eric here, or we don't have Jared here, or we don't have Jared as well. We have two Jareds on the show. And if we don't have one of them, we're screwed. No, I'm just kidding. We find a way to make through, and it's just not quite as pretty. It's probably the same thing with you guys sitting at work right now. If you don't have your whole team in place, you got to get through it. I thought U of A was disjointed last night. It was a hard game to watch. They're trying to develop somebody to replace Brandon Ashley.
Fourth crossover, drives the lane, throws it out of bounds, and it's stolen by Nick Johnson. Ahead to Jefferson on the break, slam it home.
Okay, so Ronde Hollis Jefferson, to me, do you see Andre Iguodala in him at all, Eric, as you're watching him play? Or Gilbert Arenas, or I'm looking at his body type and Michael Dickerson.
Yes.
You think of the cats that have played like at the three.
Michael Dickerson is a great analogy because he has the same body type as Michael Dickerson.
Yes.
I mean, you look at him, you're like, oh my gosh, this kid's a freshman? Really?
No, and that's what I'm watching him last night. It's, okay, who does he remind me of? Now, if they had lost Nick Johnson, I don't think they're a Final Four team. I just don't. Nick Johnson is that good for them. But Hollis Jefferson, if you watch him and you watch what he does on the floor on both ends, in my opinion, because Aaron Gordon's got some holes. I'm going to talk to Clark Kellogg about that in a minute. Aaron Gordon can't shoot free throws to save his life, and that's going to be a problem down the stretch for them. So they win, and they win 67-65. Here is Sean Miller after the Cats struggle and scramble for a victory at home.
It's a big win, and I'm just going to tell you, every game is going to be a big win for us. We'll get better as we move forward. I mean, you have to understand, you do something for 5 months a certain way, and it changes. You don't have it perfect right away.
So they win there. ASU found a way at home. ASU's 12-1 at home now. It's pretty good. 86-82 over Oregon State. That game was in overtime. I watched some of it. Baczynski now is the all-time shot block guy. I had 7 blocks last night, 17 points, 15 boards. If they don't have Jermaine Marshall, they're not even close this season. 25 points. Here's the deal. The Jermaine Marshalls of the world within the Pac-12 conference and just college basketball in general, it's like Mike Moser over at Oregon. These one-year guys that are going to come into programs, if you're a kid, I'll take Casey Benson, for instance, over at Corona del Sol. He's going to go to Oregon. Dana Altman is not afraid to go out and find these fifth-year guys to come into a program. I'm not saying he's making a poor choice. I'm just saying that wherever you go and you think, I'm going to be able to play next year, all of a sudden it's, oh, hey, wait, we're going to go find this fifth-year guy. Look at ASU. Jermaine Marshall wasn't on the radar last year. Now he comes in, he's playing fifth-year guy. It's the trend now in college basketball. There's a story in the Bay Area today about Anquan Boldin being offered 2 years and $10 million by the 49ers. And I want to get into that a little bit further and bring the Arizona Cardinals into the discussion about wide receivers this year with free agent receivers, draft day receivers, because I don't think that they're set as everybody presumes them to be. I would like to see them get a little bit better there. We have some Diamondback stuff that I want to get to. And Jameis Winston's on my radar today. Aeneas Williams in about 15 minutes. But up next, we'll talk college basketball with CBS Sports college basketball analyst Clark Kellogg, one of the national voices, great voices. He joins me next. I'm Brad Sussmat.
React and interact to our Facebook question of the day. Like our page at facebook.com/sports360AZ.
Let's talk college basketball for a couple of minutes, Brad Sussmat, with you. And I thought last night was one of the better wins for Sean Miller in Tucson. We've been talking about the loss of Brandon Ashley and that there's going to be a period of adjustment. Where is that perimeter offense going to come from? And we did see it late last night with Nick Johnson, even without a great shooting night. But a gutty win, you're going to have those in the middle point of the season. And ASU wins in overtime, too. So Herb Sendek gets a terrific performance out of Jermaine Marshall and Jahi Carson and company. Let's bring on board Clark Kellogg, CBS Sports college basketball analyst. We're 5 weeks away from Selection Sunday. Clark, I appreciate you coming on board and the view from you on U of A and the loss of Ashley and where Sean Miller's team is at this point of the season.
Well, Brad, always good to visit with you. And looking at Arizona, it is a period of adjustment, as you said, and it'll play itself out. But clearly you miss a guy who does so many things and impacts their team in so many ways. He's a big mobile guy that can shoot it. He defends. He's active. He gets you extra possessions. He forces adjustments from the opponents defensively. So it's hard to replace all of that yet. And good programs and with good teams, next man up. And that's what Arizona is going to be about now. Hollis Jefferson going to have to run, you know, round in the form, and he showed that he's very capable.
Yep.
And then other guys are just going to have to do a little bit more. You know, it's interesting. You lose a dynamic like that, and automatically you start looking at numbers and what you miss statistically, but it's the non-statistical elements. The way the opposing team prepares flying, right? For you. Some of the little things that go beyond the numbers, and that's what a team has to be able to adjust to. And you made a good point. Every team goes through some type of adversity, whether it's injury to a key player, whether it's a key player not playing well. And teams that are going to be successful typically find a way to rise to that challenge, and I think Arizona will.
It's also a long season. I know fans want to get to March. 5 weeks is a long time. I remember it was about 3 weeks ago, Ohio State went through a bit of a dip. And I think every team that's going to be there in mid-March has got to go through that dip at some point in the season.
You know, I would not disagree with you. I think adversity steals the fiber of a team. You don't choose what the adversity is. But inevitably, because of the length of the season, the grind of the season, the demands of conference play, the fact that you've got 18 to 23, 24-year-old guys that are dealing with life that we often ignore and don't realize that can have an impact on what goes on between that 94 by 50-foot box. So you got all of that. And good teams not only have talent and really good coaching, but they have a way of staying together in the midst of some of those bumps that are inevitable. And you're right. The dog days of February are really interesting. One, because typically you're getting into the second round of conference play.
Mm-hmm.
So that gives you a little bit of a new lease on life and that you can somewhat hit the reset button. But also you can't discount the fact that you've played 20, 21, 22, 23 games
right, as
well. So there's not only physical, but there could be emotional and mental fatigue for the coaches, for the players. How do you refresh that? And that's what makes this time of year so fun to watch.
CBS Sports College basketball analyst Clark Kellogg with Brad Sismat for a couple of minutes coming into the great sports weekend of college hoops. U of A and ASU both winning last night out here. I remember at the start of the year, the buzz was about Wiggins and Randall and Aaron Gordon and all the freshmen. What have you seen out of Aaron Gordon this season? Last night he leaves with a bit of a foot injury. I think free throw shooting is pretty apparent, is one of his Achilles heels. He doesn't have many others. What have you seen out of Aaron Gordon at this point, Clark?
Well, what stands out to me, and I've not seen him in person, Brad, but I've watched him a few times on television, is his energy and his intensity. He seems to have a pretty good basketball IQ. Not sure where his skill level is overall in terms of shooting, handling, passing, those things, but effort, energy, IQ, athleticism, all at high, high levels. And he impacts winning. Those are the things that jump out to me in watching him from a distance. And obviously, if you get a chance to see a kid in person, you can pick up on some other things about his demeanor. How tall is he really? Those kind of things. But I've been very impressed with what I've seen from afar.
One other question when we're talking about U of A, and we'll move on. As you look at them with the loss of Ashley, are they still a Final Four team, or are they now in a spot where they've got to develop somebody to get through the tournament?
Well, I think they're going to have somebody rise up and do some of the things Ashley did and figure out how they're going to be effective in his absence. It may mean that you change a little bit of what you've done. You maybe have to alter your identity a little bit based on how other guys evolve. So I'm not sure how that plays out, which is part of the fun of watching it.
Yep.
I still think they're capable because there are a lot of teams out there in a group of a dozen or so that look Final Four capable, and I would still have Arizona in that group for me.
And Syracuse, Wichita State, we're on the right track here. Is there a team that you're looking at saying, you better look out? And I know there's 5 weeks.
Well, you better keep an eye on Florida. You better keep an eye on Florida. I mean, they get a little overlooked because the SEC is not considered that strong, but that's a really good team. They've just got an injection of a high-quality player in Walker, freshman, highly touted. So that could be a nice little boost of energy for a really good team. Michigan State, depending on how the pieces come back from injury and time away from playing, is clearly, to me, the best blend of talent and experience in the country. So those are teams that certainly I would keep an eye on. But you'll see how it plays out.
In terms of Arizona State, have you seen them much? And if so, your view of what Herb Sendek, Jahi Carson, and company are doing out here?
I have not seen them a lot. I've only seen them bits and pieces, so I would reserve judgment on being able to talk about their team at length. Mm-hmm. But I do know that they're right there in a really good conference, in the middle of the pack there. And this time of the next few weeks is when you start to give yourself some separation, or you start to fall back in the pack. And they'll have ample opportunity to move forward if they can pile up the wins the rest of the way.
This is the time of year where we read, like Dana Altman last night, talking after losing to U of A, that I think his quote was, we've lost three games by 2 points or less. And that was his first quote. So it's, look, selection committee, here's our resume case. You know, Larry Scott's going to start making the circuit, and that's fine. I mean, that's what's going on. But I think out here, there's certainly, after U of A and UCLA, there's about six teams, from my view, and you may disagree or agree, that are just beating each other over the head, and maybe five of those are going to make it.
Yeah, we'll see how it plays out. They are beating themselves over the head, giving each other knots. But the bottom line, Brad, and you know this as well as anybody who follows the game, there's something that's rather non-debatable about W's. They have a way of muting any debate or disagreement or whining. So every team has a chance to accumulate enough W's to be able to position themselves for an at-large bid. And that's what it comes down to. Who have you beaten, and how are you playing in the midst of that? And how do you compare to some other teams that might have similar resumes? And winning can cure a lot of that. It can actually make the gray skies clear as we move forward. So we'll see.
I'll disagree with you on one thing. There's always going to be whining, Clark. Come on.
Oh, yeah, yeah, there will be. There will be.
How do they get in? And, you know, right now I hear the Indiana Hoosier.
But you know what? There's been less of that over the last few years.
Yeah.
In my recollection, because you've got 68 teams. Everybody gets a pretty good opportunity. And I think the whining has subsided considerably the last few years.
I'll let you go off that. I appreciate your time as always. Thank you.
My pleasure, Brad. Take care. Have a great weekend, man.
Always good to catch up with Clark Kellogg, CBS Sports college basketball analyst. Last night at the ASU game, so the student section decided that they were not going to cheer until the Sun Devils scored their 13th point. Problem is, it took them 11 minutes and 30 seconds to get to 13 points last night. Now, they did this in honor of James Harden, who wears number 13. So Herb said after the game, Herb Sendek, it would be my recommendation that we never do that don't cheer stuff. I mean, we're the home team and we're creating silence. It doesn't work, in my opinion. Doug Haller has a really good blog on this over on AZ Central. We're trying to create energy at home. I'm trying to get people to stand up, not sit down, yell, scream, have a great home court. And we're going oppositeville. No one's saying anything to me. It takes the energy out.
I agree.
So when they are allowed to cheer, the whole thing picked up. So here's the thing on that. Is it the student section? Why does Herb need to talk about that? Does somebody need to ask him, what do you think of the student section? They just got to win. You know, when we start analyzing whether fans are cheering or booing, it's one thing if you're being booed off the court. Okay. But I'd rather get into the, you were able to get a win against a pesky team at home. Let's move forward on this. I'm sure it was one of the students that said, what did you think of them not cheering? I wasn't there. I don't know. But from a distance, and I, you know, on Herb's end, he's got to get the atmosphere there picked up.
Can you imagine, Brad, if it was, we're not going to cheer until ASU makes their 13th free throw? Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my goodness. Jahi, practice. You're a good shooter.
You were over at GCU last night.
I was, but I heard the game on the way home last night, and it was just, and then I got home and saw the overtime, and I was like, oh, my gosh. How can you try to lose this game in a number of different ways?
So,
but a win is a win. As Clark Kellogg said, wins are non-debatable, right?
How was the atmosphere at Grand Canyon last night?
4,500 people, not an empty seat in the house, and they do a good job over there at GCU.
Was your first time there, right?
No, I was there last year, but this year they've really – last year it was good. This year, you know, the students are on complete opposite one side. They stand – they have a band, a guy with an electric guitar. They have it's kind of like a Suns game. Wink, wink. Gee, I would have never thought that.
Never thought of that.
You know, it's a basketball game and a circus all at the same time. So,
how many Suns or how many former Suns or current Suns were at the
Let's
game
see.
Last night?
Let's see, Dan Marley.
Yeah, got that one. That was easy.
And Drysdale, Goran Dragic, one of the trainers or someone on the staff. Al McCoy.
Yeah. Jerry was there. Yeah.
So what is that, six?
And that's just, you know, you and I sitting here shooting the breeze.
That's it. Yeah.
30 seconds or something. So that's fun.
Tough loss, though, for GCU. Had a chance to pull even at the top of the WAC. They're very quietly having a good season over there.
All I know is this, and I've said it not as definitive as I'm going to say it now. They're going to expand that arena after the season is over. And then Dan's going to go out and he's going to get some guys, because I see Jerry bringing in basketball guys that are going to direct guys. And this whole Olympic training center that's going in over in Tempe is going to be tied in.
Yep.
And there's going to be nights where media, are going to have to decide, do I go to ASU or GCU, because the better game is going to be at GCU. It's going to happen.
I hope GCU, Brad, doesn't overextend themselves.
Like, they play at Kentucky next year, and they'll get hammered, and that's fine.
But in terms of the arena, I mean, the arena's nice. You can fill it up. It's 4,500 people. Yeah. If they double it or make it 7,000, it's going to take away from – because it's a small school. I mean, it's a tiny school. I don't know.
The Gonzaga – look, they're going to be – if you talk basketball in the Pacific Northwest, it doesn't start with UW. It doesn't. It starts with Gonzaga. If you talk basketball in Wisconsin, Marquette's just as relevant as the Badgers.
No doubt. No doubt.
And so the same thing when DePaul was rocking back in the day in Chicago, they weren't talking about Big Ten or even Notre Dame. They're talking DePaul. Mm-hmm. So I understand where they're going here.
They've got a ways to go, though.
I'm saying 3, 4, 5 years from now – just watch. Just watch what's going on over there. It's terrific. Aeneas Williams made the Pro Football Hall of Fame last weekend. He is flying in tonight to drop a puck at the Coyotes-Blackhawks game, which is fine. But I want to talk to Aeneas and congratulate him on making it. And that's next, Aeneas Williams. Then Bill Goodykoontz on our Friday show, Fun Feckless Friday, whatever term you want to use. It's a little lighter. It's the way it should be. It's not beat you over the head and slam you with a sledgehammer. Today's with a fly swatter. There's some things that have got me a little grumpy, but not much. That's next, Aeneas Williams. I'm Brad Sussmat.
For in-depth, unique coverage from the high schools to the pros, follow us on Twitter at Sports360AZ.
Sports360AZ.com on AZ Central Sports. On Twitter, you can follow me, Brad Sussmat, C-E-S-M-A-T, and of course on White Mountain Radio. Aeneas Williams is going to join us here in a couple of minutes. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. Yesterday, I went out to Santan Ford, stopped on in, saw Ann Pierce, and is one of the main cogs that makes it go at Santan Ford. When I pulled on in, one of the sales reps saw me get out of the Fusion, said, that is a very sweet ride, very nice Fusion. Yeah, it's the same Ford Fusion that they were promoting during the Super Bowl pregame show. Ford was just making this big deal out of the Fusion, and rightly so. I love driving my Fusion around. You may be thinking, you're in a Fusion? Yeah, I fit. It makes a lot of sense for me with all the business meetings that I go to, the places that I like to run out to with my family. As soon as I get done with the show today, I'm going to go have lunch with Jeff Van Rapphorst, good buddy Jeff, of course, talking some college football with him and ASU and some other people too. I've got business stuff this afternoon. Tonight, probably going to take my wife on a date. Tomorrow, it's college basketball to watch in the morning, then run out to my high school daughter's playoff soccer game. I can just recite where I'm at. I am always on the run. At some point, I got to run over to the hardware store. Pick up a faucet. It's at Santan Ford, the vehicle that I drive, the Ford Fusion. How about you? Are you that comfortable in the car that you're in or the truck that you're in? Why not stop into Santan Ford? Get in that vehicle that you have confidence, that is luxury and style for you. That's at Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. Aeneas Williams joins us for a couple of minutes. You're not dropping the puck tonight. Somebody told me you were dropping the puck tonight, but you're not now. Is that correct at the Coyotes-Blackhawks game?
I am not.
You're not.
I'm quite sure they're still going to have a rough game, and hopefully the Coyotes win out there.
Yeah.
How you doing, Brad?
Aeneas, you are finally, I talked to you about a week and a half ago, and finally I can say, Hall of Famer Aeneas Williams. I'm sure you've done dozens and dozens of these shows, but what haven't you said about the moment of finding out being the Hall of Famer?
I don't know what I haven't said other than taking the time to reply to every text, tweet, emails, and calls, and just realizing, Brad, how many people, starting with my parents, my relationship with the Lord Jesus, my wife and my children, so many coaches, teammates, mentors, so many that honestly should be going into the Hall of Fame with me. And I'm quite sure all 286 of the other guys probably could say the same thing.
Mm. Now, how many seats do you get at the Hall of Fame ceremony? Is it unlimited? Do they limit you? Do you know even?
It certainly has a limit because Canton is not a very big place. But at least maybe 50 or more, and then I'm finding out additional information as we go forward.
Because filling 50 for you sounds like it would take a minute or two. That you're going to be in that space of it could be 250 that you need.
Correct. There's so many people that have reached out, as I said, that have already booked their flights as well as their tickets, and there's so many that we have to send invitations to. So I don't know how many it will be, but as many as we can get, we certainly will use.
Hmm. And who have you heard from that just jolted you? Because when something great happens, and I've never been in your spot, but when something great happens in life and people reach out to you, I found there's a couple of neat things that happened to me. I've had some people that, boy, I forgot about this person. You had any of those?
It's been so many. It's I'm the second player from Southern University, and to get a call from Mel Blunt, a call from Roger Worley, Larry Wilson, and those guys, Marshall Faulk, my fellow New Orleanians. We're the only two from New Orleans in the Hall of Fame, in the NFL Hall of Fame. And so many other calls. I'm quite sure I think about other people, Brad, after we get off this call that have come to my mind. But right now, those are some of the people that I heard from.
We were
and the other thing was Michael Bidwell. This is an awesome thing. Right after, at the NFL Honors, as soon as we went backstage for the press conference, the person standing right there was Michael Bidwell. And so truly an honor to play with the Cardinals. And I will say this when I do subsequent interviews, and I've had conversations with some people about this. My time in Arizona, that time of development, Larry Wilson and that leadership team drafted me out of Southern. And I remember Larry Wilson, the GM at that time, saying that Aeneas Williams would be our cornerback for the next 10 years. So I got to remind Larry that he was actually a prophet. Because ironically, I played 10 years. But my time in Arizona, I tell people this, and people always say, well, man, wasn't it much better when you got to St. Louis and you were winning? I'll say this. Whether I was in St. Louis or Arizona, I was in the National Football League. I played with some players that I believe did not and probably won't get the recognition that they deserve because we didn't win as many games collectively. But when I go in, hopefully all of those players, Larry Centers, and so many other guys that I believe deserve so much recognition, hopefully they'll take some solace in me going in, that I played for the Arizona Cardinals, and we were able to get to the playoffs and beat Dallas and then go on and play for St. Louis. But I don't regret any part of my career. My time in Arizona was outstanding, with my wife and I being there in. To see the home field advantage that the current players, Patrick Peterson, Larry Fitzgerald, and all those guys have right now, and seeing that bird gang up at the top of Sun Devil Stadium, I believe that the foundation for what the guys are enjoying now and the work that Michael and Mr. Bidwell are doing and that family is pretty awesome to see.
Aeneas Williams with Brad Sussmat for a couple of minutes. Aeneas going into the Pro Football Hall of Fame now. It is official. We've had Aeneas on many times, and after a while, I was telling Eric, because it was always right around the Super Bowl, I feel bad because I hope he gets in, and he finally did this last week. What do you think was the turning point in the room to get you in? I know you give Kent Summers and some of the other writers a lot of credit that have helped you along the way. What was said, do you think, that finally pushed you over the top?
Well, having access now to information, and obviously it's not something that's easily said. The two guys back here in St. Louis, Howard Balzer, Bernie Nicholas, and then obviously, as you say, Ken Summers out there. It was comments by a number of people. That's what I've been told. It was overwhelming. And immediately after we came off the stage in the Radio City Music Hall at the NFL Honors Ceremony, and we were doing a press conference, and the first call or interview I did individually was with Howard Balzer and Gil Brandt. And Gil Brandt, you may know.
Sure,
Brad,
I know. Yeah.
Been around a long time, man. He's probably 200 years old. But he's very, very still engaged, still has an excellent mind, and he's a historian. And the first thing he did was, before I started doing interviews, he passed over to me about four sheets of paper with graphs numbers and names on them. And he said, you know what this is? I said, no, what is it? He says, it is what I presented to the committee, because to me it was a slam dunk. And what he had on that page was a graph along with numbers, names listed, which were, when we were in the prime of our career, how each cornerback that's already in the Hall of Fame, my contemporaries, Deion Sanders, Darryl Green, Rod Woodson, and how I matched up against them statistically. And he said, when it came down to prime matchups, when it came down to primetime games, when it came down to our careers, I was the best corner in terms of statistics, better than all of those guys. And he said, when I saw that, he said, when I saw information like that, which are the actual facts, he said that he thought it would be a no-brainer. And then other people like Peter King sharing quotes that from guys like Jimmy Johnson when he was in Dallas has been truly humbling when I hear what people said about.
Before I let you go, and we're with Aeneas Williams, your position today, your exact title with the church is what that you're doing in St. Louis?
Pastor. I pastor a wonderful church out here, the Spirit Church, but we do live streaming. So we're seeing, Brad, all over the country, all over the world. And it's part of my life assignment. And then I also work with the league, and I get an opportunity to go and do public speaking. And my life purpose is to help people go to the grave empty, because so many go full without reaching their potential, as I would have had I not walked on the football team a week before the season started my junior year in college at those small Division I AA Southern University.
Okay, so Pastor Aeneas now, give me a verse.
Yes.
Give me a verse then that has made you in the last week think of, because as a pastor, you study inside and out. So spiritually speaking, give me a verse or a passage that has pushed you through this last week of making this big transition.
Seek ye, Matthew 6:33, which is my life verse, Brad. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you, which, to paraphrase, find out what God wants you to do and what he created you to do. Do it the way he's outlined it to be done, and live and treat other people with love and respect. And do that which he's purposed you to do with excellence. He says all these other things were the things in the prior verses from 1:1-32 in chapter 6. That everything else people are chasing and trying to get, he said, I'll add these things to you if you'll do what you just read. Seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness. All these things shall be added unto you. And certainly they have. With my family and so many other people, that we've had an opportunity to impact their lives, not just on the football field, but also off the field. And the final note, Brad, you know, a lot of people come up to me when they find out I'm pastoring now, and they say, man, you're finally doing the real work. You're doing the real work of the Lord. And I always share with them respectfully, I said, no, I've been doing the real work of the Lord for quite some time, because sports is a ministry. And that's what I share with the current players that are playing. When we work with excellence as a team individually, and we give people the joy of a Sunday experience, that we gave the best effort, it don't always translate to wins, and certainly when I was in Arizona, we didn't win as many.
Sure.
But, Brad, every fan that I saw, even though we didn't win a whole lot of games, they always tell me thank you. Because no matter what was happening, I still gave them a pleasurable experience in terms of the effort that was given, even when the outcome wasn't as we all wanted at times.
It's really good stuff. Are you going to use that verse in your speech at Canton?
It's it may be that one or something that along those lines. Really looking forward to it, because the part that brings me to tears, Brad, is because my freshman and sophomore year, someone had come up to me and said, hey, you could be one of the best cornerbacks to ever play in the NFL. I would have thought they were crazy. And if I had not gone with my heart, which I believe that's how God speaks to people, I used to wonder, how does God talk to people? And all of a sudden, a week before the season started, my heart changes to go walk on the team. Made no sense.
Mm-hmm.
But I took the step, and I ended up starting by the fifth game. And here, if I don't learn to follow my heart, I could never experience and even have this conversation from this standpoint and meeting you, Brad, and having this talk right now.
Appreciate your time as always. Congratulations, and we'll see you down the road.
Hey, thanks a lot, man. Great interview and great question. Keep up the great work.
Stay well, Aeneas. So Aeneas Williams with us for a couple of minutes. Appreciate his time. On the other side, Goody Kuntz. Yep, it's Bill Goody Kuntz, Goody at the Movies. You know what's going on this weekend in the world of sports. Now you need to know what's going on at the movies. Also, Jay Leno last night, did Bill just crush him? It's really good with Aeneas because that's who he is. He is Pastor Aeneas Williams. Appreciate his time and being so open. Brad Sussmat with you, Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports. Stay with us.
For unique angles, content, and guests, check out our podcast center available 24/7, 365 at sports360az.com.
And now, because you know what's going on in the world of sports, getting ready for the great sports weekend, a lot to get to in a short period of time, so I'm going to get right to the movies with Bill Goody Kuntz, Goody at the Movies, chief film critic for Gannett, AZ Central. The Lego Movie. So, I really don't want to go. And I'm trying to pawn that one off on my daughters to take my my nine-year-old. Am I about right on this from what you've heard? You haven't seen this, have you?
You are dead wrong. It's great.
Get out of here. Are you serious? Have you seen it?
Great. I gave it 4.5 stars.
No, not a chance. I've got to go see the Lego Movie now?
You've got to. Don't let your daughters take any of it. You do it yourself. I had the same expectations going in, and the thing is, it's smart, it's funny, it's actually, by the end, there's kind of a twist that's kind of like really sort of sweet and sentimental, and it's like, I was just, you know...
You're joking. You're joking.
I swear. Will Arnett, who is so great in as Job, I'm an illusionist, not a magician, in Arrested Development, he's Lego Batman, and he's not like a main character, he's kind of a... He's one of the bigger supporting characters, but the part that it got me was where he sings his death metal song that he wrote about being an orphan. it's just like da 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 death. I swear you will not be disappointed.
Okay, so I'm gonna hold this one on you. You're fired. If I have to go, if I sit there and I'm not laughing by how soon am I laughing in this movie?
2 minutes in, because it's the thing that they're smart about. I mean, in some ways, yeah, it's a 100-minute commercial for Legos. But Legos is a pretty established brand, so the smart thing to do is they kind of make fun of that whole Lego culture. Like, the animation is such that, like, the little guys move like you would move a Lego. You know what I mean? They're not, like, real fluid. They chomp around. And they they continually make fun of how, and this is a big part of the plot, of how you have to follow the instructions to do it right.
Which we never do.
Right. No, but, well, exactly. And yeah. And the part of the point of the movie is maybe you should.
The
cast is good. Morgan Freeman is in it. He has a lot of fun with his, you know, with his sort of voice of God persona and all that. He's pretty funny. Liam Neeson is good cop, bad cop. I don't know if you've ever seen a little Legos, but like, you know, you can turn his head around and he can be good, but then you can switch his face and he'll be bad.
Oh, my gosh. You're convincing me I do have to see this.
This is one that you can honestly take your whole family to, and everybody will love it.
Bill Goody Kuntz.
And I was as surprised as you are.
Bill Goody Kuntz, Goody at the Movies with Brad Sussmat for a couple of minutes. Okay, Jay Leno last night. I was trying to remember the first guest I ever had doing this. Eric thinks it was the play-by-play voice of the Seattle Seahawks. It wasn't Billy Crystal, obviously. How do you think Jay went out last night?
It was okay. I mean, I was never a big Leno fan, but I think he was. I'm torn. On the one hand, I think he was pretty mistreated by the network. I mean, he's still number one by a fair margin, but they got to get younger. So out he goes for the second time. On the other hand, the last time he was out, he could have stood up and said, "No, this is now a Conan show. You know, you guys." You push me out, you make a big deal. But he was kind of in there, you know, he wanted to be back. And I'm sure it's a hard gig to give up once you have it. But that said, I'm not a big fan of the Billy Crystal song and dance stuff, but I thought it was funny that he brought, you know, some of the guests that he brought in there that were pretty cool. And I've never been a Garth Brooks fan, and I didn't, in 1992, I wasn't a Garth Brooks fan, so that didn't really mean much to me. But it clearly meant a lot to Leno. And I think, as one of my colleagues wrote, that if Leno has spent 22 years trying to please the network, trying to please other people, and it was kind of nice to see him at last do something to please himself. He clearly wanted Crystal. He clearly wanted Garth Brooks. I mean, you know, he made a couple of jabs at the network, but nothing too bad.
Sure.
It's that whole thing, that's been a mess since 2009. And maybe Fallon will be the one who gets him out of it.
Letterman gave him a car, I heard, or it made a joke about how he should go buy a car, to, you know, which is it's just saying he has like hundreds and hundreds of cars, which is fine. Does he surface somewhere else? Would he be like, I watch Piers Morgan and I just don't get it. I don't get it. I would think Jay Leno in some capacity for some of these 24/7 news cycles. But as he said, maybe I'm not up on enough current events. Maybe he couldn't have a shtick. Maybe these networks need to lighten themselves up a little bit. I think there's still a place for him.
Well, his strength is always, it's never been as an interviewer because he's too bland. I mean, he just asks the questions that you or I would ask. But you and I ain't getting paid $30 million a year. We need to do so little, you know, you need to raise your game a little bit if you're getting that kind of money.
Sure.
His strength has always been as a comedian. And he's a hardworking, I watched Jimmy Fallon last night afterwards, only because I had to write something about Leno. So I was sort of on deadline. And so I had the TV on. But you know, Fallon said, and evidently this is true, he said, you know, tonight was his last show. We want to thank him for everything. And he said he's a hard worker. You know what? He's doing stand-up in Florida tonight. Like, after, you know, evidently he left the show, flew to Florida, and did a set of stand-up.
Yeah, did his thing. No, that's fine. The Olympics, where are you at on spoiler alerts? Are we past that in this day and age of social media? I'm looking at the outfits that the Team USA is wearing that people will be talking about tonight. They look hideous. I'm looking at the mascots. They look like guys that should be at the zoo. Now, are we past this point of knowing the results before they happen? Or has our country changed their habits that much?
I think so. I don't see how you can keep a lid on it anymore. I know that they... Networks used to bend over back. Where I say networks, it's been NBC for those long as practically I can remember. But they used to bend over backwards. Like, we're not going to, you know, turn away from the TV if you don't want to know who it is. I think you're past. I think in the age of Twitter, I already know, and this is not a huge thing, and it's not going to give anything away, and I won't give any details. But there is a minor malfunction during the opening ceremonies. I've already. Know what it is? I've already seen it, and I'm however many hours away. I don't mind that, and I've actually found out. I mean, if I know it's out there, I can't stand it. I have to know it.
Sure.
If the U.S. bombs out in hockey, you know, or something like that, or some medalist, somebody that we are carrying off for a medal bombs out, I got to know it. I can't wait. I just can't stand it. I mean, I think this is why I do what I do. Maybe you do what you do. I can't stand other people knowing stuff I don't.
Well, it's like watching Costas last night. Costas, I think, should have pulled himself off the air last night. But when you have
because
the biggest,
of his eye.
Yeah, because the eye. I mean, it's the biggest audience that's out there. And on one hand, he's trying to play hurt. If it was his voice or something, was he comfortable doing his job last night? Was it a little bit about Bob Costas rather than the whole Olympic movement?
Wow, it's always a little bit about Bob Costas.
Yes.
I love Costas, but he's got an ego that dwarfs his diminutive size.
No, but he should not have been doing the show last night, in my opinion. It was distracting.
I thought, you know, what I have not checked, but I'm assuming is the case. I'm assuming that there are several, by at this point, fake Twitter accounts called Bob Costas' Eye.
Yeah.
That would be my guess. You know, what's weird is he did a tape. A bunch of people, Obama, a bunch of people did a little tape tributes to Leno for the goodbye show. And Costas did one. He's like, you know, how are you going to know what to do? And he had this big bottle of Jack Daniels. He said, I suggest this or something. He took a big swig of it. But his left eye was watering a little bit. And it was clearly before last night, but it looked like these things were starting, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. And that was just weird. And again, you talk about being on Twitter, you talk about seeing... This was hours before we could watch it, at least 2 hours before we could watch it. I start seeing these things in my Twitter feed. It's like, what is up with Bob Costas' eye? And it's like, well, I've got to know. I've got to know now. I'm not going to wait 2 hours to see what happens.
I'll let you go off that. Appreciate your time and insight as always. Thanks.
Talk to you later.
Bill Goodykoontz, Goody at the Movies, chief film critic for Gannett, AZ Central. Always good stuff from Bill Goodykoontz. We have plenty of content up on all sorts of things going on in Arizona sports. We're Arizona-centric. That's AZ Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports, carrying the show today as well. And we appreciate their partnership with us as we provide content to them. Sports360AZ.com. My Twitter feed is at Brad Cesmat, C-E-S-M-A-T. Get on my case on whatever on the show. People are already a little upset with me about Aeneas's interview. It's fine. It's fine. That's if you don't get the show, it's cool. And we appreciate being on White Mountain Radio as well. Stay with us.